They just did. And then as I'm getting older, things start happening to me, and I'm like, what the heck is this? But praise God, somebody, one of my dad's old friends or whatever, he's passed now, told him about shingles. And I'm like, I heard it. But, you know, old people didn't talk about stuff like that or whatever. And all of a sudden, you know, 20 years later, I see this little red spots of stuff, and I'm like,
ooh, that stuff is terrible.
But because somebody talked about it, I jumped on it quick, no issue. Got rid of it in several days or whatever. And I didn't realize without the shot you can get it again. I thought it was one and done. No, it can come back on you. I'm like, all right, I didn't know that.
Chicken pox.
But you have to have had the chicken pox to get shingles.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't. But, you know, so I say all that because the rash started popping up. You know, it's weird. You know, you go to bed at night, and then all of a sudden you start itching in the morning. You're looking, you got these hives all over your body, you know. And so I started praying.
Shingles don't usually go all over your body.
No, well, I got the shots now, so it's not shingles.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's just some kind of hives or whatever. I don't know. And, you know, as you get older, you got new stuff happens to you. Okay, is this new? What's going on? His mercies are new every morning, even though his mercies are new. I like that, Jeff. His mercies are new every morning, even though something new just popped up this morning. So, you know. And so I started praying and praying and praying. And, you know, every morning still popping up. Some mornings were worse than others. And when it was so bad, I'm like, okay, my healing's on the way, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it still just started happening. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, I'm praying wrong. I'm not going to ask. I'm going to pray in advance and thank him for my healing in advance. So I started praying and thanking him in advance for my healing. And I'm thanking God by his stripes we're healed. I'm already healed. The manifestation hasn't hit yet, but it's there. It's on the way. Thank you. You know. And one morning it wasn't so bad. I'm like, yeah, that's my God. Then the next morning I looked like a gremlin that fell in some water, just bubbling. This ain't got nothing to do with the lesson, but it's got something to do with, you know. So after a while, I was thinking maybe I just need to go and talk to my doctor. And I'm like, nah, going to the doctor, that's going to be a lack of faith or whatever. God's got this, you know. And there's a whole lot of people going through a whole lot worse than what I'm going through. So, you know, just Ukrainians and stuff like that, just suck it up. God's got it or whatever. And, man, I bubbled up so bad the other day. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call the doctor. So I called the doctor. I couldn't get in, but he left me some drugs, a couple of over-counters, and wrote me a prescription. And I happened to go down there, picked the prescription up, took the prescription the next night. No bumps at all. And then this morning I woke up, only a couple little small patches here or there or whatever, but basically, you know, no big issue.
Did you ever find out what it was?
Well, I'm going to call him back on Monday. And I mean, you can Google up a lot of stuff and figure out what it is.
That's the worst thing. That gets you mad.
Yeah, so when I Google it, it could be. When I Google it, yeah. Plan your funeral. Plan your funeral, Google. Yeah. I looked up WebMD, whatever, something like that. Yeah. So it could be kidney disease. It could be. You know, I'm like, oh, I need God more than ever. Yeah. It's bad. Yeah. I thought about that. I gave up my peanuts for a while. I did all kinds of stuff or whatever. And then as I woke up this morning, it just kind of hit me. I just want to share this before we get into the lesson or whatever. And the Spirit just kind of hit me, and I was like, do you have a lack of faith? And I said, I don't think that I lacked faith. I don't think I was impatient. The bottom line is, I'm being healed. I'm healed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when we're waiting on God to move, we expect him to move a certain way. Mm-hmm. And when he doesn't move a certain way, then
doubt
creep in, whatever. And I don't think it was doubt creeping in, but after I saw the results from the medicine, I started praising God for the doctor, for their wisdom, for the medicine, for the solution. And I'm like, is it possible that while I'm looking for God to work through the burning bush, maybe he's going to bless me through somebody else and someone else? And so instead of being a lack of faith, I got to be careful that it wasn't pride that it slipped in, because he's got to work like this. And when he works like this, then I'll know, ooh, I must have God's ear because he worked like this. And you fight the doubt. How can I pray for somebody else when I can't even get my own healing or whatever? And the bottom line is, I'm healed. I still might have to take some pills as a result of it, but I'm working through it. So I just kind of throw that out there, gee whiz moment, whatever, because as I was going through that, I'm like, man, praise God. Praise God. So don't mustard seed. Don't doubt. And just because it doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out, or in the manner, or in the timing, doesn't mean. Bottom line is, the bumps are gone. So, praise God. Amen. Any thoughts, comments? For?
I kind of float a long way with you on that
one. All right.
I'm still doing
this stuff. Yeah. So, praise God.
What's God teaching you in the process?
Oh, trust and wait on him.
Yeah. Dealing with.
Yeah.
That's what I always try to.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Is it for somebody else, or is it just for me? Or do I need, are you trying to get my attention? Or is this, and I love the old folk or whatever, but man, I'm not going out like that. I'm going to share because somebody else might be going through something that I need, amen. So, all right. All that said, Luke 17, 1 through 10. So let me share my screen. I know we should be going into the next one. Mm-hmm. I know several of you are waiting for the but I wanted to wrap this up with a case study just to make sure that we've got it together. And the men in the prison today were very excited about the case study. All right. As we look at Luke 17, 1 through 10, this is the wrap up. Final wrap up for this mustard seed example. And so when you look at the first, and I did this differently this time. I got this in categories. I should have wrote it out, but I got it in categories. And so then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So, as I looked at this, just again as a review, there are four things that I recognize that are happening here. One, he deals with the offender. All right? So this first block of scriptures, he deals with the offender. Offender, you better be careful. The next phase or section. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So, part two. First he deals with the offender. Then he says, be extremely careful, you who are the offended. So we got the offender, we got the offended. And like Susan said last week, I just never thought to put all this together. And of course, one of my favorite verses in this parable, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Which from time to time, I'm still kind of, thinking, yeah, you might need to increase my faith. Or maybe I just need to remember that my faith is in something big and let it grow there. All right. Verse 6, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And so when I looked at that, I said, the third part of this is the solution, which is faith. So the solution for the offender is mustard seed faith. The solution for the offended is mustard seed faith. And then we get to the part that we talked about last week, verse 7 through 10, But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise ye, I love this, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And that fourth section, for me, I call it keeping it together. Because you can forgive one time, but can you keep it together to continuously forgive? And this is why all four of those things, that fourth section there, that example, that parable, I've called it a parable, verses 7 through 10, is so important to me, because I got to keep reminding myself, I got to have the attitude that I'm unprofitable. What that means is I got to maintain an attitude of humility. If I don't, then my success will lead to my downfall. Because I'll just start saying, this is good enough. This is good enough. I've done all this, and and we talked about this last week. I've done all of this, and now, I'm doing more than what somebody else is doing. Mm-hmm. I'm doing more than what I would have been doing. This is good enough for government work. And then it would cause me to do the wrong thing here from a sermon perspective.
That reminds me of my verse this morning that was the first thing that popped up when I got up. It's from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
That's a song. Casting Crowns. Seek mercy, have justice, walk humbly with your God. What's that? Micah 6?
6:8.
6:8, yeah. Yeah, that's not a song. Love that. All right. And I didn't do this at the prison today, but I know we did it last week. Just, I got to put myself in the form of the disgruntled servant or the self-righteous servant, and then the unprofitable servant. And see, the neat thing about this is, while he's telling this as a parable that we can relate to in the natural, we still get rewards in the process. Mm-hmm. It's just that a greater reward is coming. He still thanks us. We still bring him glory in the process, but we got to be careful. And of course, you guys all know about the arrangement that I have with my wife, about whoever gets out of the bed first makes the bed.
Yeah, that ain't working out so good at my house this week.
So,
it ain't never worked.
I told you that that's how. Oh my goodness! Anyway, reasonable service or whatever. So I and that's another reason why you do that number four to stay on the loop or whatever. Because I've turned into the dishwasher in the house now. I don't know why. I don't know how that happened. Good gracious! I don't know how that happened. And I woke up Saturday morning and I'm like,
I can give you some tips.
Boy, I mean,
I love washing dishes.
It ain't the word. Al, I'll tell you this, Al. I will humble myself and allow you to give me some tips. Because I looked in the sink yesterday morning and I'm like, hey, I'm going to run the dishwasher today. Hint, hint, put your dishes in the dishwasher and I'll turn it on. That's old school. Well, my kids, my daughter is still traumatized to this day because I was trying to do the right thing, but I was doing it the wrong way. I guess I was doing it the wrong way. Let me write something down here. There's a song about everything.
There is a song for everything.
Okay, so I'm going to give this to the prisons next week or whatever. Something. If I'm here, I'm planning on being out of town. But I don't think it's going to be this weekend. I'll call somebody who will answer their phone in case we need to do in case we need to do Zoom or whatever. But I'm going to go visit my daughter. I don't know exactly what weekend I'm going to do that. Anyway, I just doing the right thing the wrong way. Yeah. All right. So anyway, but this. I like the idea that I just want to stay humble. I want to stay connected. So let me give you those four things again. How to deal, you know, he hits the offender, and then he hits the offended, and then he says, here's the solution. And it's the solution for both of them. And then he says, you know, I think to me, and here's how you stay connected. And when I gave this to the inmates today, you know, I gave a great example of why we should continue to forgive. And Roger kind of talked about this last week again, just to review. Just think about all the things that God has done for us. Yeah. And because of everything he's done for us, your reasonable service, the least you can do is to stay the course. So that he bundles all that together, stay the course. Now, all that said, I was ready to move to the next parable. Which is Matthew 13, because we jumped off in Luke to finish up on the hidden treasures. But then something happened, and I'm like, ooh, this would be a wonderful case study. Now, give me a pass on this one. Probably don't want to talk about it, all the rest of that stuff. Everybody's heard it or whatever. But I thought that we need to have and maybe it's going to work. It worked better at the prison than it might work out here, or whatever. But I'm going to throw it out there anyway, because I think it's a case study. Because one of the big things that they need to do is to get the Bible and understand how the Bible works, and to look at things in that. So I want to give us a case study slash a new parable for us to look at and put ourselves in the story and kind of see how this plays out. And as the Lord was giving this to me, because I'm not this smart, I put it in a table, and I'm hoping. I don't have to put it on the board, that I remembered to put it in the document here. So let me see what we got. Did I remember to put it in the document? Okay. Let me see if I put it in the document. Okay. Oh, I did. Will Smith case rock, Chris Rock case study. I know you're tired of hearing it. I know. And one of the inmates said, we've been talking about this. This is praise the Lord. And you know, so I know. You know, for them it's different, but.
That's all you need.
But I saw something. Earl, oh my God! Here we go, David. I can't keep him in control. Earl.
He's like, I'm out.
Yeah. So Earl, stay safe. We're good. And the reason why I thought it was interesting is because, and I usually don't watch shows like that anyway. I just happened to be watching that night because I was. Everybody is seeing this. But the problem is that we're studying Luke 17 about forgiveness.
And
I'm like, okay, so there is no Luke 17 in this. Let's just kind of look at it to see in the natural. What's going on, and the spiritual implications behind that. So I did a table. So I got categories. Will and Chris Rock, again, just like any parable, you know, you kind of put yourself in the story. And I'll just give you the whole table and let you see what's going on. But first off, how did this kick off? So the kickoff was Will Smith was offended.
No, Jada was offended. He laughed.
Right. So, stick with that. Everybody got some history.
Yes.
And sometimes the history. Praise God. Look at you. Sometimes. I can't do it now, but anyway. not without much difficulty. Praise the Lord. I don't know for sure, but everybody's been talking. I think there was more to this than just the joke. There's the history. There's the disrespect. There's something in his background, that relation, that weird, you know, that relationship that they have, that probably sparked something where he felt like he needed to respond in a certain way to save face, and we know what that is. Pride.
And the look he got from his wife.
Which says, you know, you better get in here and get these dishes done. All right. So, though that don't happen in my house or whatever, anyway. And Chris Rock is the offender. So as I looked at this, I said, Chris Rock is the offender, Will Smith is the offended, and our Bible study lesson is broken out into offended and offender. And I'm like, ooh, interesting. And so let's look at this in the natural. When the offender offends, is there some initial success?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. He got his point. Chris got his point across.
People laugh.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it was tasteless.
Which it still took me like 5 seconds to figure out what the hell he was talking about.
At the beginning of her red carpet, she said that she didn't care what people thought about her hair.
Yeah.
And they're thinking that that was a response.
And I don't know all of the nuances and detail, and
probably won't ever.
I'm not really going to spend too much more time trying to figure out and analyze him, you know. But anyway,
some things we just need to know not of.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, you
Amen.
Shouldn't do that because it was a medical condition.
I don't think whether he knew or not, but the point.
I think he knew.
I heard he did. But anyway, again. Let's go back to the core here, the root. He's a comedian.
Right.
Yeah.
He told a joke.
He's supposed to make people laugh.
And he's supposed to make people laugh.
And he did.
Did he have initial success?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Even from Will.
Yep.
Because he started laughing. And here's my point. Now, that's the, and I don't even think he's that funny. Just, you know,
I don't like
but,
him.
Yeah, I like him in movies, but he's not that funny for stand. But here's my point. Now, let's shift back from the natural to the spiritual. And maybe it works better in the prisons or whatever. Is there satisfaction when we offend?
For a moment.
Is there satisfaction when we sin?
For the moment.
For the moment, which is why we do it in the first place.
Exactly.
And so... if I'm the offender, I'm going to feel good about it. Then I'm going to go and tell somebody else, oh, let me tell you what I did to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I would have done the same thing. And the reason why, I know we've heard enough about this or whatever, but the reason why I thought this was very interesting is that on Facebook, after this happened, two preachers, just in my little circle, who are mighty men of God, love the Lord, full of the Holy Spirit, right? Posted on Facebook praising Will Smith for what he did.
No.
Saying it was the right thing to do. Don't say no, I read the thing. Oh, I know what you're saying.
Right. I did too at first until I found out that he laughed and all of that to begin with.
Yeah. And then I saw some of their parishioners chime in and say, yep, I would have done this, and teaching my kids to do the same thing. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. So I had to respond to some of that because I'm like, ooh, and of course I had to get prayed up before I responded. I'm like, there's something wrong here. And maybe it's so prominent in my mind that this is so wrong because we've been studying Luke chapter 17 and a mustard seed of faith, and there's nothing in those scriptures that we've been studying for the last 2 weeks that prompts or promotes or says that God gets glory from what happened, either from the joke and especially not from the response. And so I take this as a case study, all right, because it just seems to fit with Luke 17. So there's this sequence. And so for some reason I'm praying about this, and the Lord just said, you know, walk through the sequence. So here's the sequence of events. He's offended over time. Chris Rock is the offender, whether he knew it or not. You still offend people.
Yeah.
Right. Right. All right.
Isn't that a convenient job? To a certain extent.
Yeah. Well, you know, ignorance is not bliss, but, you know.
I know.
So first response after this happens. I'm just going through the timeline, just like we go through the parables. I'm just going through the steps of the parable. So the first response, violence, flesh, pride. But now it's shifting because there's shock, surprise, and hurt on the other side. Why he did it, I get the pride, pride goes before the fall.
Yeah.
And so the seven-step process is in full effect here. And in fact, who's closer to the steps at this point?
Chris.
Ah. Because he's the one that's going through something. Yes. Yes, because just like there's initial success with Rock and sin, does Will Smith get some initial success as the offender now? Oh, absolutely. And it just was shocking that this boy got a standing ovation after he had committed an act of violence. Is the world going crazy?
Yes.
Look at the group.
That's right. That's exactly. We can't go on. That's a whole nother world right there.
It is.
That's a whole nother world. We cannot.
Yeah.
With different standards, different ways, different
everything. True. I got that. But then again, we have to put, as we go through this, we got to put ourselves in the story.
True.
Because is there some Will Smith in us?
Oh, yeah.
And is there some Chris Rock in us? So as we go through this a little bit further, you're going to see, because even though different group, different world, bizarro world, I call it. Yeah. All right. In the natural, there's that separation, segregation, different groups or whatever. But in the spiritual, it all spins off of the natural. And what I was trying to tell the guys at the prison is you got to understand that when you get slapped in the natural, there's some spiritual ramifications. And you need to understand what happens when you're not lined up with these seven steps or the first four. All right. So, first response after that. Justification to support actions for Will Smith.
We all do it.
Yep.
No, we don't.
Every time we mess up, which we do, we
fall
and
it
comes.
Yep.
Every time.
We always try to justify,
defend ourselves.
Oh, my goodness.
Probably to try to make us feel better.
And that should be a huge red flag when we're trying to justify something.
To make us feel better.
I was seeing this play out live. But then when I started putting it here, I saw the spiritual ramifications of this. And it took me all the way back to Genesis. Mm-hmm. Yes. Adam, what happened? Where are you? Did you? You didn't.
The woman you gave me.
You gave me. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. You gave me something that threw me off, and so, you know, you got to take, you culpable in this, Lord. I mean, you got to take some of the blame. It wasn't your boy, it was you. And so now, but let's see, we disconnect the spiritual of who God is and how we're supposed to interact with God. We disconnect that because we think that's a story from way back then that cannot, oh God, I would never do that. Ain't no way in the world I would ever eat of the forbidden fruit. Adam's just stupid, but now that I know what's going on here, it can't happen to me. Well, yes, it can happen to you.
Because
yes.
And we taste it all the time.
Yes. And so.
Adam didn't have hindsight at that.
No, and, but we do.
But we did,
yeah. Yes, and so we might not be doing the sin of slapping, but there's some sin out there, and it's still the thing that entices us. And when we do it, I'm surprised you guys said that. The same thing that happened in the garden, what Adam did, we do the same thing. And so I'm listening to this dude, and I'm like, oh my God, this is grieving my spirit. I wonder why this is grieving my spirit. Because it ain't spiritual. It's back to the garden again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then he blames Richard Williams. The dad that he portrayed in the movie.
The one he played in the movie.
Yeah. So, it's the Robert. Because he played the character
using his acceptance speech.
Yes. To justify.
And to say that having played that character and all that Richard Williams did to defend his daughter, to get them to where they were in the business world,
yes.
He was using that as justification of how he reacted to Chris.
Oh, okay. But
he has his own, that, yeah.
And Richard Williams came back and said, that's not me. That's not me. Hey, you just called me crazy dad. I think he might have been offended. You just called me crazy dad, and I'm not a crazy dad, and that's not what I did. And then he's, oh my God. And then he says, well, Denzel gave him some good advice. Hey, yeah, when there's success, the devil comes looking. I guess he didn't figure that one out. He gave it to him too late. Anyway. And then he says, love makes you do crazy things. No, 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 no. Not God's love.
Not God's love.
No, in fact,
it's just what Lauren said. He was just justified.
Yeah. God's love will cause you to do some crazy things. God's love will cause you to do some crazy things, like forgiving people that don't deserve to be deserved. But true love, spiritual love, godly love, kingdom of heaven love, all right, is not going to have you go around slapping on people.
That's that flesh love.
That's that flesh love. Absolutely. All right. So.
Where were the police?
There's none.
All right, let's. I don't want to get too far down in it. Chris Rock's response is, you know, he played it off.
I'm surprised he didn't hit him back.
Okay, now that gets to my next one.
No.
What Roger said, I've been hearing all along, and I came up, I wasn't the first one to come up with it, but he's absolutely correct. Because it was calculated in my point. Because Will Smith is not going to slap Ice Cube, Ice Tea. No. I don't even think he's gonna slap Vanilla Ice. The Rock, none of that.
He knew he had
50 Cent,
no.
25 Cent, he's not gonna do it. So it was a bully tactic. He knew good and doggone well he was gonna do it to somebody else. That's not on my chart or whatever. All right.
Oh yeah,
he was. Yeah,
he
knew.
Up there. He
was
in his chair.
Yeah. Oh, hold on, I'm going there too. All right.
Chris Rock's brother. He
said he would have
got up there.
Yeah. Now, yes, I know. I heard that too. So the result of that justification and lack of remorse and repentance or whatever is judgment. He's suffering loss. And one of the inmates was like, well, no, he's still rich. I said, no, no, no. He ain't got what he used to have.
Yeah.
And now you suffer loss. So what he gained by the benefit of sin, doesn't last. All right, it's just momentary, and you've got this negative impact on others. Now, Chris Rock result. He's getting paid.
The show he did the night after.
His ticket prices went from $51 to over $1,000 a ticket in some places. And I wouldn't pay, you know, I ain't got nothing against Chris Rock, but I wouldn't pay $1,000 to hear Chris Rock tell jokes in my backyard. And so now he's getting paid. He's getting the support or whatever. So, you know, and I don't know if he's a Christian. I doubt it. But it's not me to judge. But just from the principle, him not responding in the flesh, in like, not letting somebody else lead them to that same thing or whatever, it's got a reward of such. And if we do what Luke 17 says to do here, then there's a reward behind that as well. Now, here's the next part, the challenges.
Will Smith had to resign from the Academy yesterday.
Absolutely. He better. And I will say this, at least he's showing some apology, which never should have happened. How many of us can say, I apologize now, but if I had just not operated in the flesh, it never would have happened.
He's sorry he got caught. He's not asking for forgiveness.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Well, maybe. I'm not one to judge.
Those are two totally different things.
Yes. Which goes back to Luke 17, which says, when a brother offends you, you should let them know so that they can repent. Mm-hmm. All right. So now.
Right.
Yes.
What you just said. What if Will Smith had walked up to him and said, looked him in the face and said, please don't talk about my wife's condition.
Would have been okay. Yes.
Would have led the penalty from Chris Rock. He would have apologized. It would have been
all
humility.
That
been humility can feed on humility.
I'm writing that down. I'm writing that down.
Now you're showing people who look up to you that if somebody talked bad about you, just knock them out. But that would have shown you show, when someone offends you, you still show love and you communicate.
No, well, oh wait, I'm gonna write that down. Hold on, I'm writing stuff down. Had no business going up there. Hold on, like that. And he might have should have been able to stay in the chair, but he had no business going up there like that. And Roger said this is spot on. But how can he go up differently? And the solution is still in what Christ said with that mustard seed faith. And the solution is still those seven steps. Because you can't go up there. And see, what Roger said, I want you to hear what he said. If Will had gone up with a different spirit, then all of a sudden that spirit becomes a ministering spirit, a convicting spirit, and then Chris Rock might get saved, at least saved from getting a slap. And be able to, and so it becomes a ministry. I didn't even think about this. Your hurt becomes a ministry.
And someone posted something on Facebook on Jada's side, and it said that as a woman, as a wife, she should have to protect him. And I didn't even think about it on that aspect. Like, it's a whole, and I can't remember all that was said, but that. Even though she was hurt in that face, when she looked at her husband, she should have touched him or something, because her job, too, is to protect him.
She knew probably knew what he was going to do.
She knew. But they were just saying, as a wife, you need to protect your husband as well.
I've heard the flip side of that, where people are twisting this the wrong way in the flesh by saying he's just protecting his wife, which is what he said. But I'm like, so you're doing a good thing the wrong way. And scripturally, you know what I first started thinking about? Moses. Who did a good thing in defending his people. Killed the Egyptian. And then what did he do? He caught a case behind him. And then he had to wait 40 years before he could do it again the right way. Now, challenges. There's still some challenges out there. And here's the challenge. And it kind of goes with the result. Look at the impact that pride has had on others. Because it's not just about him and his pride or whatever, his family, his wife or whatever. Look at the impact. His son comes back and says, that's how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Okay. Stay safe now. This is how
there's
we
do
it. Yeah, there's a song for everything. But what he just said, because he's an icon, I don't have anything against Will Smith. I think he's just very, I mean, I think it's amazing that, you know, you got this talent, you start out a rapper, but you're pretty much clean rapper or whatever, and, you know, and you do, and now you become a movie star, and you win an Academy Award. I mean, you are an awesome dude. You're a role model. And what you just said to every youth in America, that it is okay when you get disrespected to respond in violence.
Yes.
You just told every, and we got all these shootings and stuff where these kids shooting over some simple stuff like this. And what you told those kids is that it's okay to respond in violence or whatever when you get disrespected. If somebody was to step on your shoes, you can slap them.
And
all right.
And then you got us people responding and validating that. So they even got that on top of everything else. Mm-hmm. Saying, oh, it's okay.
You just said it's okay to assault people. You just said that black on black crime is okay. You just validated all of that stuff in that instance. So our actions impact more. And again, it might work better in the prison because I'm like, hey, look, has your sin impacted just you or others? And they're saying, oh, yeah, it has impacted others.
It's us too.
Yeah.
Decisions we make affect others.
There's also the challenge that he now faces in doubling down in the worldview. How does the world view this? Is he just apologizing because the world has kind of shifted or whatever, which is what the devil does in the first place? Let's go back to Genesis. The devil says, come on, take the fruit. It'll be okay. Taste the fruit. Right. Get some initial success. Where the devil at? Where's the standing ovations now? Ain't no standing ovation now. So the comfort that you had at the beginning of this, that's gone. Here's the other part on the Chris Rock side. He might be getting paid right now, but he's got hurt and a sting that stays with you.
Until he chooses to truly forgive Will for what he did.
True. But I've been slapped before. High school. Didn't see it coming. That's been like 50 years ago. Well, not quite that long. Still remember it. Is there some Chris Rock in me? Is there some Chris Rock in us? Is there something that might have happened in your past, something that's happened in your life, something that you had, didn't have, deprived of? Is there a slap or an offense in your life, in your history, in your DNA, all right, that will come back and bubble up from time to time, that will cause you to feel that sting? What is the answer that takes the sting away? It's the Lord. It's that it goes nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yeah. So as I looked at this, I'm looking at so much spirituality that comes in. And then this hit me. And I think you've already shared it already. I taught this last week, said Luke 17. I looked at the four things, whatever that's just described. And I'm like, man, it just says no way. I see. I can't do it in my own strength, but the Lord will allow me to forgive and to forgive and to forgive and to forgive and to be obedient and to obey God on a consistent basis, and because he's been consistent with me, and I believe I can do this. And then no sooner had I taught this last Sunday, Sunday night comes up, and then all of a sudden, and I'm just going to tell you, Anthony, I'm just going to tell you, if Will slaps Chuck and then you turn your back to Chuck and you just, you know, straighten up your jacket as you go back to your seat, you ain't making it back to your seat. You are not making it back to your seat. I don't care. If the rock slaps me, when he turns his back, I'm jumping up on his back. Somebody going to sleep tonight. I'll get a brick. You going away with something that came from Chuck? A lump on the head, a knot raised up there, a brick in the back of your head, a chair upside your backside. And if you are able to make it to your chair before I can get to you, I'm going to be in your lap, just uppercutting you to death or whatever. Stop looking at me like that.
He don't remember
this. And let me just ask this question. And maybe it's just the men. Did anybody here think ain't no way in the world that I'm going to get slapped and go out like that?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
So, but why would I want to let somebody else's pride, flesh, and stupidity? I don't want to say stupidity.
Why
would I want somebody else's ignorance or blindness to the spiritual realm respond to me in the physical realm and then cause me to follow at, because flesh will touch flesh.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And allow me to move me from the spiritual position and place that I need to be. Is there some will in us?
Yeah.
We need the Lord.
Amen.
Is there some hurt in us?
Yes.
We need the Lord.
I mean, just the fact that you just said that you had been slapped like that in high school. If somebody did it again, that root, even from high school, is jumping back at them.
Because the enemy knows it's a root.
Yeah.
Ooh, Deb!
And with Chris, it's a root because it happened on national TV.
Yeah.
He tried to get over it. Now you've got everybody else in society that's going to bring it up to where now he has to go right back.
So now, here you go. And let's close with this. This is good. He could forever be known.
Mm.
Yeah. Wait, let me write this down.
What do you think he's going to do next year when they say, will you? No, man, I'm out.
Here's the thing. He cannot recover on his own because the problem is he will always be known as the guy that got slapped.
Yeah. Right.
However, no, it does not have to. If they just get saved, if they just follow this last line here, and think about what Roger said, he could take that and say, I'm not the guy that got slapped. I'm the one that got slapped, but I'm the one that caused forgiveness. I'm the one that caused the healing. I'm the one that gave mercy. I'm the one that turned things around. I'm the one that used the Lord to reduce the challenges and close the gap. It's an awesome opportunity. Oh my goodness.
In some way, and I don't know Chris Watt's relationship with the Lord either, and I'm not going to say one way or the other. In some ways, though, Chris did show some humility because he didn't want to be arrested.
He didn't press charges.
He didn't press charges, which he could have.
They're saying that he wouldn't ask, but that's a whole other
story. Yeah,
he did show some restraint.
He did.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he was stunned. I mean, I don't think he fought back because he was just so stunned.
The problem with being stunned, the good thing is you're stunned, you don't know how to respond, and,
right.
You know, okay. But then after, has anybody ever had this happen to you? After the shock and the stunning or whatever, and you start thinking about it, replaying
anger.
In your mind, then the anger, because then you say, if I could, or let them do it again, that'll pop in.
Right.
And again, as we close this up, that's why when the Lord kind of showed me, I'm going to put it on the Lord because I'm not that smart, the offender... The offended, the solution, and then staying the course. Staying the course. I'm unprofitable. I'm not worthy. Staying humble because I don't want somebody else to move me. I don't want the devil to use somebody else to cause me to miss out on what God has for me.
Amen.
And the only thing that's different in this that I need to add is...
Chuck, thank you for doing that. That really puts that whole parable
in perspective for me in a in something that's happened to currently. So it's a good example to see it at work.
I just love this. I want to highlight this. When God is involved, the slap turns into a ministry opportunity.
Ooh, amen.
You got to see it from God's perspective. As believers, we have to look at this from God's perspective. And we have to be careful because there's others. I'm telling you, these preachers, I mean, I really had a, you know, and one of them repented or changed their mind about it when they recognized what they were doing or whatever. But the danger that even as Christians, we can look at these things that are happening in the bizarro world or whatever, unless these different groups are just one of our own groups, and we can start looking at those things and go, that's right, that's not wrong, that's, you know, whatever, and justify something that is not spiritual or is contrary to the propagation of the gospel and ministry.
Well, when God's not involved, it turns into a feud.
Yes.
The Hatfield and McCoy's goes on forever.
Yeah. And if I was the old me without Jesus and God was not involved,
amen to that, brother.
Yeah, Oscars was over. As soon as he rolled up there, Oscars over. No more Oscars. No more Oscars. Y'all have to get the rest of the awards out by Zoom. It's over. Yeah. All right. So now I'll promise you that I am not bringing this up again.
Well,
all right.
I'm just gonna tell you that.
That's where you gotta have the word.
I had not connected the dots to this until we started having this discussion.
Yeah.
But I had a similar situation happen between me and my stepsister.
Mm-hmm.
That she hit me. And I didn't hit it back, only because of Jesus. But
praise God for
Jesus. And as I'm standing there thinking, am I fixing to hit her?
Right.
Or am I going to turn around and walk away? My little sister,
yes,
who I would never lay a hand on, got in between us.
Oh, wow.
And pushed me by. And this has only been 2018. And so it was very recent. And all of that just brought all of that back as to, you know, what happened between us is basically the same thing that happened between them. Except
no.
We're both saved.
Mm. Yeah. So, some more good points as we close. And we will be in, I should be here. Well, I'll be here by Zoom anyway. So, I'll let somebody know if I'm
leaving the phone on.
Okay.
Phone on.
All right. There's the offender. There's the offended. And we have been both places. There's the Chris and there's the Will. All right. There's the solution. Stay the course.
Well, you got to remember that we offended God and that he was humble enough to forgive.
Man, Roger, you just keep bringing God in this situation.
We offend him every day, I think.
Whoa!
Speak for yourself.
All right. Good lesson.